Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good to see you. We're turning once again to Genesis, and it's the chapter 37 and the story of Joseph. We're looking at the subject of pictures of Christ in the Bible. And here is one of the most vivid pictures given us of the Lord Jesus in the life of the Old Testament saints, many of whom, as I said to you on a number of occasions, bore a great likeness to the Lord. But that's not surprising. Every child of God bears the image of the Lord Jesus, bears a likeness. It should be our desire to be more and more and more like the Lord Jesus. Now, in Joseph, we have one who you can trace a number of similarities. Have you ever heard, and maybe it's been said about you when you have had a visitor in, or you have visited someone who hasn't seen you for a long time, and they say, "Och, is this wee so-and-so? Oh, she has her mommy's eyes, or she has her daddy's nose." And they point out certain likenesses to mommy or to daddy. Some perhaps you mightn't like pointed out and wish they hadn't noticed, but that's the way it is. We bear a likeness to our parents. And so it is in the spiritual realm. If you're born again of God, then you will bear a likeness to Him. And it should be a growing likeness. We should be more and more and more like the Lord Jesus. Now, as I said, Joseph was a man who showed many likenesses to the Savior, and it pleased God to bring about in his life events that foreshadowed events in the life of the Lord Jesus. We have looked at the fact that he was beloved of the Father. Jacob loved Joseph, we're told, in Genesis chapter 37 and the verse 3, and he loved him more than all the other sons. And he gave a token to him of his love, the coat of many colors. And we spoke about that in our last assembly. Now today I want to pick up on something else that is given prominence in the story of Joseph. We'll begin our reading at verse 5, please. Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance, bowed to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me, bowed down to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying." We'll end our reading there. Now there is, in that little passage, a likeness to the Lord Jesus. God permitted Joseph, through these dreams, to see that one day he was going to become a great man and occupy a very great position. And that his brethren would come and bow before him and acknowledge him and pay respect to him as they would to a king. Now, Joseph himself did not fully understand what that meant. Joseph wouldn't have known what you and I know, because we have the whole story before us, that he would go down to Egypt and become there second only to Pharaoh. He didn't understand that. But nevertheless, there was given to him some knowledge that in the future he was going to be raised up to great prominence And his family would have to acknowledge his greatness and bow before him. Now, of course, you know the parallel in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was to many just the carpenter of Nazareth, just a common, ordinary working man. But the Lord Jesus knew that he was greater than just that. As I said, Joseph was given this dream in which some information was given to him, which he did not fully understand. Of that I have no doubt. But the Lord Jesus fully understood what lay ahead of him. From the very beginning of his ministry, he said this. In John, the chapter 1, we read these words. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's verse 51. So there was the Savior at the very beginning of his ministry, disclosing to his disciples something of the glory and the wonderful position that he would one day accomplish. The disciples didn't fully understand any of this. They didn't realize that the Lord Jesus, before he had come to this earth, had laid aside his glory and had taken upon himself that humble form of a son of Mary. They didn't realize until much later that he was the creator of all things, and that by the word of his power he upheld all things. We hear much talk today, indeed it seems every day, that there's some news story that tells us of an awful event that will soon happen to the earth and wipe it out. I constantly seem to be reading about a way out there. There's an asteroid or a comet or some other planet on the move, and it's heading straight for Earth, and it's going to wipe us all out. It's going to wipe us all out. Or the ice caps are all going to melt, and we will be right up to our eyebrows in water. Maybe with us being up on a hill here in Kilskerry, we mightn't be so bad. But if you happen to live down in a hollow, in a valley, well, you may get your life belt ready, according to these very wise men. But let me tell you, this world is upheld by the hand of Christ. And all that he has purposed and planned for this world will come to pass. And it will end even as he has purposed. Maybe none of the events that these men are speculating upon, and that's all it is. But no, the Lord Jesus is a glorious person who upholds all things by the power of his hand. Now, when the Lord Jesus disclosed, as he did on occasions, who he was, that is, the glorious person that he was, it roused the anger of the leaders of the Jews. For instance, in Mark chapter 14, we read that the high priest stood up in the midst. This is the verse 60 of Mark chapter 14. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am." Sometimes when you look at the other Gospels, you'll see his answer is recorded as, "Thou hast said, thou hast said." Now, that's not altogether a phrase that we're familiar with, but here we have it recorded, "I am." And that's what the phrase, "thou hast said," means. It was an affirmation. Now, I've said that we're not really familiar with that phrase, "thou hast said." And yet, we're familiar with the response that some will give to a setting forth of a particular matter, and because the person is in agreement with what has just been set forth, they have responded, "Now you've said it." Haven't you heard that? And that's just a word of agreement. That's a word in which you are indicating to the person who has just given this report that that's exactly how it is, as far as you're concerned. And the Savior was doing the same. When they said, "Are you the Son of God?" He said, "Thou hast said it." Or, "That's exactly right." Or, as we have it here in Mark, "I am." But he goes on then to say, "And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." See what the Lord Jesus knew about the future? Joseph was given some little indication of the greatness that awaited him. And it was only a tiny little bit of information. He didn't understand anything of how it would work out. But the Lord Jesus knew exactly who he was and the glory that he would be clothed with in the future. "Hereafter," he says, "ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Now you would think that if you were in the presence of the Lord Jesus and he said that, you would immediately acknowledge the greatness of his person and be all the more in reverence of him, all the more in awe of him. But when he told this to the high priest and his company, it says that they exploded with rage. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need we any further witness?" And they went on then to plan his execution, his death, because of what he claimed about himself. And you see the parallel with Joseph. When Joseph told his brethren how that there would be a day when he would be greater than any of them and they would bow before him, they were filled with rage. They hated him. They hated him. And even his father, when he was told the second dream, he rebuked Joseph and scoffed at the idea, though we are told he thought about it and pondered what Joseph had said and wondered just what lay behind it. But initially he was vexed and grieved and angry with Joseph. So the feelings of the family towards Joseph, when Joseph told them his dreams, was that of rejection on the part of his brothers. It was outright hatred, and they just looked on him from that day with envy, with annoyance. And as the story goes on, you know that when he came to inquire about their well-being and they saw him, they immediately said, "Now we have a chance to strike out against him." There was just a burning animosity, hatred, toward Joseph amongst his brethren. They hated him the more, it says. The Lord repeats that word concerning Joseph in the early part of the chapter, and you can see again and again and again, they hated. How is it today among the brethren of the Lord Jesus? Is it not as it was with Joseph? Was he not rejected by the Jews? Did they not utterly refuse to believe he was the great one that he said he was? And did they not kill him? Did they not conspire against him and kill him? You know, we'll not just go into any great details, but you know the story of how they sold Joseph into slavery. And then they took his coat of many colors and they stained it with the blood of a young goat. And they brought that back to their father. And they said, "Look, something dreadful must have happened to Joseph. It looks like he's been killed." And the words of Jacob when he saw this are found at the very end of the chapter 37. "I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." And his father wept for him. From that day, there was a gloomy cloud hung over the household of Jacob. And from that day, Jacob mourned and grieved as a result of what he thought had happened to Joseph. There is a picture there, boys and girls, of the state of the Jewish people in the world today. Just a little while ago, we were remembering the Holocaust and what happened to the Jews during the Nazi regime in Germany in the 30s and the 40s. It was a horrible thing. Millions of Jews were done to death. But let me tell you, from the day they crucified the Lord Jesus, a great cloud of gloom hung over the Jewish people. From that day, sufferings began for them that far exceeded the common sufferings of other people. It was just like the household of Jacob. He says, I'm going to go down to my grave in sorrow. The rest of my days are going to be days of sorrow because of what has happened to Joseph. What a picture Joseph was of the Lord Jesus and the consequences that followed Joseph's being sold into Egypt, his father believing that he was dead. What a picture all that is of the state of affairs among the sons of Jacob today. But the story doesn't end there. Isn't that right? You know there's a wonderful ending, a glorious ending. And there again, you have another aspect of the picture of the Lord Jesus set forth in the life of Joseph. But we'll come to that aspect of the picture next time we are together. But boys and girls, God is giving you these pictures that you might learn, that you might understand, that you might have a grasp of God's will and purpose through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word to the hearts of all the boys and the girls. Give them understanding. Let them ponder these things for themselves, Lord. Please teach them to ponder the truths of God and extract sweetness from them in their own meditation. Bless the school today, overshadow. Meet its every need, O God, according to thy riches in glory. Answer prayer now, for Jesus' sake. Amen.